Well, I want to welcome all of you out today. It is great to be here. God provided an incredible, beautiful day as well. All the little girls get to wear their Easter outfits without a coat. And it's beautiful to be able to see everyone dressed and be able to worship God together, to be able to celebrate an amazing day. There are over 2 billion people celebrating the resurrection today around the world in some form or another. It's truly impossible to overemphasize the uniqueness of this event in world history. A dead man in a tomb for 3 days raises himself from the grave. Well, this changes everything. This is totally unique. Nothing like this has ever happened in the history of mankind. No one in history has had power over death other than this one single man. No religious figure of any religion, of any world religion, has ever even claimed to come back from the dead, let alone raised himself from the dead. Jesus of Nazareth is the only one to rise from the dead. And he told us that not only would he have power over death, but that we too would have power over death. That we could rise from the dead. Well, let's start with Matthew's account of the resurrection. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go into Galilee, where they will see me." And the women rushed away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. I think all of us would have come running from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. They were remembering Jesus' words, "I will rise on the third day." They were thinking, "Is this true? Could this be? He is alive." And then they see him on the road. They realize he is alive. Their whole world just got turned upside down. You know, the only proper reaction to the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the one the women had. That's the only proper reaction. We've never seen a dead person rise from the grave. And it's only happened once in humanity. And so, of course, you're going to see Jesus and be terrified, yet really excited. Is this true? Is it him? And they're clasping his feet to prove he's not a ghost. Jesus was raised from the dead. They were realizing our whole life is about to change right in front of us. The entire world is going to change. Everybody's life is going to be radically shaken. And when you realize that your life is about to change, it can be rather frightening. Business is not going to be normal here. When you realize Jesus is who he is, he is the risen Christ. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, God incarnate, Messiah, ruler over death. That's going to shake your world a lot. It means Jesus is in charge. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is going to make all the calls in your life, unless you rebel. He's going to make all the calls, make all the decisions. Jesus is the one who determines who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. Jesus is the one that determines who has eternal life and who doesn't. Because Jesus has the power over death. Jesus even determines who of us will have power over death and who won't. Well, that changes a lot, doesn't it? All of us have something deep down inside where we want to live forever. The biggest fear of all mankind is death. And there's nothing you can do about death. But if you knew that you could keep on living, you wouldn't have to fear death, that you could actually have eternal life, that is going to shake your world, and you're going to want that. Business is not going to go back to normal if you can figure out how to get eternal life. But of course, with Jesus, as the resurrected Christ, things are going to have to change a little bit around here, right? Changes are going to have to be made in your life because now Jesus is going to make all the calls and make all the decisions. Wow, how exciting is that? How frightening is that? Have you ever thought about how God created life to be a combination of both fear and excitement? How many people here have done a roller coaster at Six Flags? Anybody? How many people here have been scared out of their mind when they did that roller coaster at Six Flags? Yeah. How many people here have been really, really excited to do the ride at Yeah. See? All of life is like that. Some of the most exciting things in life are terrifying. Why do we go to horror movies? I don't. But why do you? People say, "Oh, I love being scared out of my mind." Great, then you'll make a great Christian. Because Jesus is going to terrify you with some of the requests He's going to make. It's going to be terrifying, but it's going to be so exciting. God has created life to be this combination. I remember I proposed to Teresa, this was 24 years ago, and she said yes. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. So, she was whisked off to go change clothes, and we took a limo to the restaurant, and we're up there, and we hadn't really gotten a chance to talk much because, you know, all the running around. So we sit at the table. So this has been less than an hour that I asked her. I hadn't really seen her until we're sitting at the table, and she's across from me. And she had said yes, and the first question she asked me, "So how many kids do you want?" Now, I'm smart enough to know that I shouldn't show that on my face. I just want you guys to know what my face really looked like. I don't know. I was terrified. I hadn't thought about that. I didn't propose to Teresa thinking about the kids. I wanted to get married to her, not the family. I remember when she first told me, "I'm pregnant." Now, guys have watched enough movies to know that when a woman that you're married to says she's pregnant, you're not to go, "Wow, honey, how exciting." But I can tell you that most guys are terrified. But I'll never forget holding Mackenzie in my arms, and I just cried because I was so excited. I was terrified. But I was excited. You know, some events in life are pure terror. 9/11. I remember being with Tick Towns. She was cutting our hair, and I remember the tower being on. We turned on the news. One tower's on fire, and then suddenly the plane dove into the South Tower. What? We knew our lives were going to change. America was going to change. It would never be the same. So some events are pure terror. Some events are pure joy. hanging out with your family, playing hide and seek with your son or hide and seek with your daughter. It's just so exciting to run around with them and play. But most events are a combination. I was talking with Carrie Quinn this week, and she was telling me about being a soccer star. As a freshman, she started with Syracuse University on the women's soccer team. Now, that's very rare to start as a freshman, and Syracuse University has a great team. So she was telling me about it, the first game at Syracuse against Washington State, and there she was in the lineup as they were playing the national anthem. And she said, I knew that a lot of upperclassmen wanted me to fail because freshmen never started. And here I was starting as a freshman, and so I knew that they were all hoping I'd fail. And I was terrified. I was listening to the national anthem. She said, I just wanted to vomit. All that fear, all that excitement, she just wanted to vomit. But she said, but I thought to myself, but this is why I'm here. I've trained my entire life for this. And she went out and played an awesome game. Sometimes that's what it's going to take in these terrifying situations. I know what to do. Let's do this. She had fear. She had joy. She simply chose the joy over the terror. When the women realized that Jesus was alive, of course they were filled with both. They were filled with sheer terror. What's this going to mean for me? But pure joy to know that Jesus was alive. I'm sure they wondered. I'm sure they had question after question after question after question. What did this power mean? What were they going to become? They had never contemplated this. It was all so exciting. And of course, the resurrection is not just a first century miracle. The resurrection of Christ changes the 21st century as well. All of us can be radically changed through the resurrection. Now that Jesus is fully in control, and now that Jesus is making all the calls, and now that Jesus is going to determine who has eternal life and who doesn't, hey, we're going to want to get close to Jesus. Because He has the power, He has the answers. How exciting! How frightening! I just want to stay close to Jesus. He has the answers. Now, here's an important question. Is it possible for us to have power over death? Well, it all depends on which side of the resurrection you're on. Before the resurrection or after the resurrection? Jesus' resurrection? No. Your resurrection. Did you know that you have to be resurrected to have eternal life? And it's not just on the last day. There's a resurrection you have to do while you're here on earth, while you live here. Turn over to Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. As it turns out, in order to have eternal life, you have to be resurrected in this life to live a new life. And power over death can only come from death and resurrection. And so let me ask you, has that happened in your life? Because if you're like, I don't know about any of this resurrection, what are you talking about? I am so confused, then I'm glad you're here. And I just want to welcome all those that are visiting. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for being a part of this great service. I want to welcome you back. We have a series of lessons going on for the next 3 Sundays that will be really exciting. And I really pray that you'll come back and be a part of the congregation. But today, I do want to talk about this important subject of resurrection for you personally. What does it mean for you? How do we apply the resurrection to our life? Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 has a great scripture. This is Paul talking about the fact that we have to be crucified. We have to die here, and we have to be resurrected in this life. He starts off in verse 3. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with Him in His death like His, we will certainly also be united with Him in a resurrection like His. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Literally, what Paul is saying here is that in order for us to have eternal life, we have to do what Jesus did. We have to die. We have to be crucified the way Jesus was crucified. Not on a physical cross, crucified to your old self, completely dying to your old self. We have to die. We have to be buried with Jesus. We have to be resurrected with Jesus to live a new life. According to verse 4, when does this new life start? The new life starts when you come out of baptism. You see, the word baptism is an anglicized Greek word. The word baptism doesn't exist in English except for the Greek word baptizo. Now, the Greek word baptizo means to dip, plunge, immerse, or submerge. It's a total burial underwater. I know there's other traditions that are happening, but the Greek word is a burial. And according to this, it has to be a burial, because there's no way to be resurrected if you haven't died with Jesus, and there's no way to die with Jesus unless you're buried under the water of baptism. But this is really cool, actually. It's like, wow, that's amazing. You mean I can die with Jesus? I can be buried with Jesus in the waters of baptism? And just as Jesus was raised from the dead, I too can live a new life? Yes, absolutely. You don't have to wait for Jesus to come back. In fact, don't wait for Jesus to come back. You got to do it now. You got to do it here. This is really important. We have to personally die with Jesus in this life to have eternal life. We have to be resurrected. The old self must be crucified for us to be set free. The great news is that it's freedom from what? Look at verse 7 again. Anyone who has died has been set free from... Who doesn't want power over sin? We all do. When we sin, we hate it. When we blow it, we hate it. We can't stand it. Sometimes we don't even want to look at ourselves in a mirror because we're so disappointed in us. That's the slavery of sin. That's what sin does to us. What this is saying, literally, is you can be set free from that. Set free from the power of sin. Yes, as a Christian, you will be tempted. Yes, as a Christian, you will blow it. But you have power over the sin as a Christian. And so you have power to say, no, I refuse to do that anymore. And it works! I didn't get any amens on that, but Christians, is it working for you? Yeah, when you say no to sin, it works! This is awesome. This is incredible news. Especially if you want to change. Especially if you're sick and tired of sin. Keep ruling your life. It's like, I'm tired of that same sin. How do I deal with this? This is great news for you. I am so glad you've seen the scripture, because this is awesome news. How do you deal with it? You got to die with Jesus. How do you deal with it? You got to be buried with Jesus in the waters of baptism. It has to be a full immersion under the water. You got to be buried under the water. Some people say, well, just sprinkle some water. Well, you know, when my dog died at the ranch, we took the dog out to the property on the ranch. We dug a hole. We put the dog in and we put dirt on it. The dog was buried. What would have happened if I would have taken the dog out and just sprinkled a little dirt on the dog? Dog's buried. That going to work? Not going to work. And it doesn't work with baptism either. It's got to be a burial. You got to go down into the water. Listen, Jesus' plan for us as Christians is not to add some spirituality to our busy lives. Jesus' plan is to replace your life with a brand new life. A total transformation. That's why the Bible says, in order to be a Christian, you must first be crucified to your old life, and you must be resurrected to live a brand new one. Now, I realize most people who call themselves Christians are woefully ignorant of this. They have no idea that the Bible even says this, because there have been 2,000 years of traditions.
And during that 2,000-year period, people were told, don't read your Bible, just trust us. Don't read it, just you're okay, you're okay, you're okay. And there's tradition on top of tradition on top of tradition on top of tradition. And have you ever played that game where you sit around a circle and you whisper something in somebody's ear, and the telephone game, and it goes around? And then we all laugh at the end because it was, you know, ridiculous. Well, it got transferred. And that's what's happened in Christianity. Listen, if you're not in your Bible, I got to say that that's not a faith I would trust. And I don't think you should trust that faith either, because if you're not in your Bible, you're simply listening to 2,000 years of tradition. The good news is, because of the Gutenberg Press, we now have Bibles that we can actually open up and read. You actually have a phone with a Bible app on it. You probably have 3 or 4 translations on your phone. So we can go back today. We have no excuse. We can go back and actually look at what the first century church taught, and not through the view or lens of 2,000 years of Christianity. And so, yeah, most people have no idea that there's a resurrection that has to happen in their personal lives. They believe Jesus was resurrected, but they see no need to be resurrected themselves. Most don't even know there is a resurrection that they can do here. They're just waiting and waiting and waiting for Jesus to come back. And let me tell you what, a ceremonial washing as an infant is not a resurrection. It's simply a tradition. It's not in the Bible, by the way. It's only a tradition, and it's not a resurrection. In order to be resurrected, you have to know you're dying. You have to know you're being crucified. You have to have a lot of faith in Jesus to know that you're coming out of the water to live a new life. So listen, if you haven't done it, I want to encourage you to go back to your phone app and look at all the translations and study it out, because this is a big deal. This is life or death. This is eternity or not. If you haven't done what the Bible says, now you may have a bunch of excuses, but again, today, listen, no more excuses. You got the Bible right in front of you. You can access it. You can go back. And I say we just need to do what the Bible says. Amen? I think we just need to do what the Bible says and stop trusting in your heart or what other people say or your religion or what the church has done. Or let's just go back to the Bible. Amen? Look over in Galatians chapter 2. So Jesus is insisting on a resurrection. He's looking for a total transformation of our life, to be born again, to start over. As Robert Brace was saying, to have that rewind button, to have that start over button. And that's exactly what God is hoping that we will do, His offer that we can have. Galatians 2:20 is really a summary of how Paul puts his Christianity. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Now, where did that happen? Where was he crucified with Christ? In baptism. I was crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. See, when you're crucified, you no longer live. He said, but Christ lives in me. Now, that's exciting. When you're baptized and you're raised out of the water, you no longer live, but Jesus is now living through you. That can be terrifying, but really exciting, because Jesus does a great job with our lives. He goes on to say, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. This is the Christian life. The Christian life is a do-over. It's a start-over. It's where everything in the past is crucified and done away with in the waters of baptism, and you are raised out of the water to live a brand new life. But you no longer live. Who's living in you? Jesus is actually living through you. Now, you have to walk by faith, because Jesus isn't going to just move your body. You have to believe that Jesus is doing it. You've got to walk by faith, share by faith. Everything's by faith. But that's exciting. It's exciting to see how God lives through us. It can be terrifying, but it's exciting. I remember studying the Bible. This is February 8th, 1981, and realizing that I needed to surrender to Jesus, and I needed to be baptized. And I'll be honest with you, it's probably a terrible thing for a minister to say this. Of course, I wasn't a minister back then. So I was kind of had a bad attitude, I guess. I was angry. I was upset. I thought, the Bible is putting me in a corner here. I felt like a caged animal. And you know, a cornered animal, you know, they don't do well. Have you ever cornered a badger? No, because if you did, you wouldn't be here to tell about it. And that's how I felt. I felt like a cornered badger. I was just angry and upset, but I wanted to go to heaven, and I wanted to be right with Jesus, and I wanted my sins forgiven. What I didn't want was the surrender part. It's like any kind of cafeteria. I like a lot of different foods, but there's some foods I'm not going to take. I'm not going to take peanut butter. I'm sorry, I'm not. I'm not going to take goat cheese. That's a whole other story. You don't need to know about that. But I'm not taking it. And that's how I felt when I was studying the Bible. I wanted the joy. I saw the joy in the fellowship. I wanted all that. I wanted the love that I saw in the church. I just didn't want the surrender. I wanted to drive my car. I didn't want Jesus driving my car. Jesus, take the wheel. I wasn't going to say, Jesus, take the wheel. And so I fought it. I was really, really upset. And finally I said, okay, I surrender. This is it. But even going to my baptism, I was upset. Even at my baptism, I wasn't happy. And I know this is a terrible thing to say, but I wasn't. I wasn't happy. Because I knew that as soon as I got baptized, as soon as I went into those waters, Jesus was Lord. He was going to run my life. And I was scared to death. I felt like those women. I was terrified. Terrified of what Jesus would do with my life. I had no idea what Jesus would do to my life. So I was baptized. It was at midnight. The water was like 35 degrees because it was 35 below zero in Montana. This is Montana on February 8th, 1981. Montana, 35 below zero. The water wasn't heated. Ice was nearly on it. I got down into the water. I came up, and what did I do? Rejoice? No. I went, yeah! I thought I was going to die. And it was after midnight, so, you know, I go home, I go to bed. I didn't even have a chance to think about what I did. You know how when you wake up in the morning and you have this panic feeling, what did I do? That's what happened. On February 9th, I woke up, what did I do? I got baptized. Oh, no. I said, wait a minute. Why did I do this? Because Jesus is Lord. Because I need to die. I need to be resurrected. I need to live a new life. I need to be born again. And wait a minute, I have the Holy Spirit. Really? I have the Holy Spirit? So I ran to a mirror, and I looked in the mirror to see the Holy Spirit, and I just saw me. I thought, no, it's my faith. So I went out. So I was terrified. I went out to share my faith. I go, okay, I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to make disciples. I'm going to go share my... So I started sharing with all these people. At first I was terrified, and then suddenly I felt all this joy. I think, wow, God's working through me. It's like I had different eyes. It's like I could see people differently. And these words kept flowing that I thought, where are these words coming from? And I sat down and studied the Bible with people, and I didn't know what I was doing. I just went to all the scriptures I knew. Acts 2:38, Luke 9:23, Romans 6:3. People were slamming Bibles in my face, getting up and walking off, and I'm like, wow, that's kind of weird. I just thought everybody would embrace this. I just remember I was terrified. I wanted to vomit before I got baptized. It was just like Carrie on the game, singing the national anthem, everybody singing around that I just got baptized. I'm like, but God had a different plan. He was going to use my faith. From that moment, I knew my life would be different. I knew that a whole new world had just opened up in front of me. And since that day, 1981, fear and joy have just kept rolling along. Fear, joy, fear, joy. I started a Bible talk in my hometown in Great Falls, Montana. There was one other disciple with me. She was terrified. I was terrified. I didn't know what to do. The Bible talk was at my house. We invited all these people. The first Bible talk, we had two visitors show up. My mom, my great aunt, who was 91. But we just kept inviting people. Finally, all these people started coming out. A lot of people started coming out. And nobody had trained me to be a Bible talk leader because, frankly, nobody believed I'd ever be a Bible talk leader because, frankly, I was kind of weird. I was very quirky, geeky, just kind of a weird guy. And so no one believed I'd ever lead a Bible talk. In fact, they told me, if you move to Great Falls, you'll probably fall away. I don't think you have enough faith for this. But, you know, what do you do? I mean, here I am in the city. Let's lead a Bible talk. So all these people started coming up. I was scared to death. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to attend the Bible talk. You said, but you're leading the Bible talk. Yeah, I was leading the Bible talk, but I didn't want to go in. I was just like this, but I had to go in. It was at my house. All these cars were in front waiting to get in my house. I remember leading a Bible talk just shaking like this. But 16 people got baptized in a year and a half out of that little Bible talk. And I started thinking, wow, that's cool. I moved to Brazil. My colleagues were like, let's all share our faith. I didn't speak Portuguese. You've heard the stories. I remember going to Kenya and street preaching because I thought, well, the best way to get people in the Bible is street preach. Can you imagine how terrifying that is, street preaching in downtown Nairobi? All these people looking at this white guy. It was terrifying. God delivered me. There were times when there were near riots, times when I thought I was actually going to die because of the riots. I upset a lot of people through the preaching. But God always rescued me. The resurrected life is exciting. If today your Christianity is rather dull, may I suggest you probably aren't living the life of a Christian. Because the life of a Christian is very exciting. It's terrifying, but exciting. Resurrected life is powerful. I no longer fear Satan, because the power in me is greater than the power in Satan. Because I'm living a resurrected life. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. So what am I to fear? I don't fear Satan. God is with me. The resurrected life is powerful. I've seen my character change over the years, and it's hard to even talk about this without getting really emotional. I used to be really weird. So maybe I still am to a lot of you guys, but I remember having to change massive levels of pride and arrogance and aloofness, of anger, of bitterness, of impatience. And God is still working on me, and God is still throwing stuff in my face, even this week. It's like, oh my goodness, I have to change that? I have to change that again? But I've seen God then work through me. And if you have had a resurrected life with Jesus, you can relate to this. Because God is using you. Power over circumstances, power over trials. The trials are still there, but the hope of Jesus, the hope is so much stronger than the trial. You no longer fear death. A lot of you have gone to see Raul, who is dying of cancer in a hospice in Hawthorne. And I was sharing with him about my vision of heaven, and he said to me, I can't wait! He said, I don't fear death. I'm looking forward to heaven. Because a resurrected life means you never die again. Oh yeah, this body passes away, but you don't die. You're just transferred to home office. And God has created in all of us a heart, an empty space in our heart that needs to be filled. Every single person has been created by the Creator to have a space in there. And you have no idea what's going to fill it. If you grew up as a Christian, maybe you're thinking, well, I've been there, done that, it's not Christianity. I thought that. I grew up in a church. So I went to Asia. I started studying Eastern religion. I stayed in a Buddhist temple for a while. I thought that'd do it. Came away just as empty as before. It wasn't until somebody really sat down and started studying the Bible honestly with me that I realized that actually, it's Jesus is the answer. It's not religion, it's Jesus. The resurrected life is not for just a few. It's for all of us. You know, we've all been to beaches. And on the beach, you're surrounded by all this sand. And I thought, you know, let's say that you run into a guy and he's like this and he's really uptight and he's really worried and you say, what's going on? And he says, this grain of sand, this grain of sand, this grain, what about the grain of sand? I can't lose. This is such a precious grain of sand. I need to take care of this grain of sand. And he's like really into this grain of sand. And you're like, buddy, can you step back for a minute and look at the beach? Why are you so worried about this little grain of sand? But you know what? That's what so many of us are doing. My life here, my job, my recreation, my downtime, but I need this and I need that. You're going to lose the beach. Those are the choices. You get a grain of sand with this life. But if you fling that away to Jesus, you just toss that away, and you're born again, and you die, and you're crucified, and you're resurrected to live a new life, the sand grains don't matter. All that matters is the beach. And so today, I want to encourage you, if you're a Christian, I want to encourage you to live the exciting life, not the boring life. Find out how to get some excitement in your Christianity, because that's what it's all about. It's about fear and joy. And today, at our house, at 8:30 p.m. at our house, Allie is getting baptized. Where is Allie? Can she stand up? Where is Allie? Allie, can you stand up, Allie? Allie's getting baptized today at 8:30. Allie is a Pace student. She's amazing. I love Allie. She is exciting. She's an incredible woman. And I'm so excited that she gets to be resurrected on Easter, of all days, to be baptized on Easter Sunday. But it's just so exciting. If you're a non-Christian, I want you to think about this. I'm not trying to push you into something, but you need to think about this. Are you living the life that God created you to live? An exciting life full of the power of God and the resurrection of Jesus coming out of your pores. That's the kind of life that God has created for you. So make this Easter the Easter you decide to surrender your life to Jesus, to be crucified with Him in the waters of baptism, and to be raised with Him to live a new life and spend the rest of your life victorious and rejoicing in Jesus. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westchester Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit westchester.nyc.coc.net.